The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Beyond the Box Score after week 6. What's up, everybody? Advanced stats from extremely simple people, because we don't even have Jacob Gibbs today. It's just Adam Azer and Dan Schneier. This is going to go off the rails, folks. I just saw a tweet. It says, great news. Bills running back Damian Harris has full movement in his extremities, and from what I'm told, it's a neck sprain, and he's otherwise good. That's from Jordan Schultz, and that is great news. It was a scary scene in Buffalo last night, but thank God Damian Harris is fine. Welcome, everybody. Hope your fantasy week went great. I'm Adam, and Dan is here. You know that. I already said that. Dan, what's going on? How's Fort Lauderdale? How are all those chain restaurants treating you?
Fort Lauderdale, so far, so good in the office today. I like being here. The vibe's good. The feeling is good. There's a lot of energy. Yesterday, especially during the Sunday games, was fun. I was expecting you might fly down for this, but yeah, I guess you're too good for us, so you didn't come down for the week.
Or I have COVID, so you know, I didn't want to, you know, spread that, but sure.
Still have COVID?
I'm in that stage.
This ongoing sickness.
Yeah, no, I still tested positive this morning, but I'm fine. I'm just in that stage where I'm probably still contagious, so that, you know, that, but a few more days and then I'll be good to go. But yeah, anyway, hope you're enjoying the sun.
September and October sick, but
yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, good down here. No chain restaurants yet. I haven't done any suggestions yet because it's been tough. There's been football Sunday, so I'll be hitting some this week. So thank you to everybody who shouted me out with suggestions. I'll hit the place you said, Adam. It's Thursday. I think I'm going out to lunch with Dave and Jamie. So we're going to figure out what to do there.
Perfect. All right. So today we are recapping that stupid game last night. We've got a lot of news updates for you. And our 5 big topics are Lamar Jackson, Devontae Adams, Bijan Robinson, Zero RB, and some waiver wire and trade talk. Injuries are the storyline after week 6. Not only was the football terrible, and even Josh Allen goes out and lays an egg on Sunday night, not only was the football bad, the injuries were even worse. So Buffalo 14, Giants 9. Any big fantasy takeaways? Let's start on the Giants side of the ball. Saquon Barkley was only started in 32% of leagues. I think you made the right call. He had one great drive. He finished with about 13 points. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. But at least he was out there a lot. 28 touches for Saquon Barkley. But your takeaways from the Giants, Dan?
Yeah, some takeaways. You started with Saquon Barkley thrown right back into the fire, right back into the mix. The thought was maybe they'd ease him back in. Nope. Like you said, 28 touches, which is an incredible amount. The snap share was there as well. So he is somebody who is going to be right back in the mix as that one of the rare, in my opinion, RBs left in fantasy football who can get 28 touches in a game. The other thing I thought watching this game was the offense definitely had a little bit of different feel to it with Tyrod Taylor running it versus Daniel Jones. More downfield shots, a 43-yard reception to Jalen Hyatt was taken back by a penalty that Terry McCauley, the rules specialist, said right after was a bad call, flat-out bad call. So that would have been an extra 43 on Hyatt's box score. Hyatt continues to work more into the mix. He's somebody to keep an eye on, but Or more so than that, I would keep an eye on Wandale Robinson, because Wandale Robinson is now serving as that third down solution maker, the guy who can get open underneath on short passes and create third downs because he gets vertical and he doesn't waste a lot of space. He had a good game in a PPR league, I would say.
Yeah,
and both those two guys continue to work more into the mix. Now, things are going to change when Daniel Jones comes back. He hopes and expects to play this next week. But for now, those are the guys to keep an eye on. And Darius Slayton himself also got involved more in the mix in the vertical passing game. But from the Giants side, that's about it. They definitely looked a little bit more competent on offense. I felt like Justin Pugh actually helped them, signed off the street, signed off his couch, as he said on the intro for Sunday Night Football, and played left tackle in his first game back, was practicing all week as left guard, hasn't played tackle in 5 years. And guess what? He looked pretty competent there. And yeah. I know the Bills had a lot of injuries at him, but those injuries were not on the defensive line outside of one major injury there. So definitely something to look forward to. I think there was definitely a little bit of confidence in that Giants offense.
Yeah, I think, you know, some teams that just play so horribly for a few weeks, you can't play that poorly every week, right? The Giants,
right.
The Patriots come to mind. I don't really think the Bills' defense is all that good, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's bad or anything, but I think they've got a defense problem potentially, and yet the Giants only scored 9 points. Now, look, they were at the 1 yard line at the end of each half and scored 0 points on those plays, and we don't have to even get into the terrible decision made at the 1 yard line at the end of the first half. Darren Waller, managers, I know you're frustrated. 7 targets wasn't bad. 9.3 PPR fantasy points, honestly, not that bad. It's not like he killed you. And clearly a pass interference on the last play. Look at the still images. I'm not going to pout about it or anything, but just from a fantasy standpoint, he could have had a touchdown on that last play. It didn't happen. They didn't make the call. This is a bad offense. I think the more Wandale Robinson gets involved, if Jalin Hyatt continues to get involved, Jalin Hyatt played a lot in this game. He played season high 73% of the snaps. None of that is necessarily good for Waller, unless they just have a better offense and can move the ball more consistently. Hopefully we get Andrew Thomas back for the Giants soon, but the Giants are the Giants. They have one must-start player. I guess Waller, I still consider Waller, I don't know. I consider him a tight end that's better than most streamers. You know, it's just philosophical. Oh, we're going to start Logan Thomas and Cole Kmet over Darren Waller? Just start Waller, I think. Don't waste another roster spot on a tight end. On the Bills side of the ball, you just hope Josh Allen is okay. He's got a shoulder injury. Did he sustain the shoulder injury in that scrum? Shouldering, pushing into Bobby Okereke?
I'm not entirely sure where he sustained that injury. I would say from watching that game and just thinking about it a little bit more in depth, part of the issue was less shoulder injury and more. Brian Daboll coached with Buffalo for a while. He coached Josh Allen for a while. I felt like he had a little bit of a beat on the protections the Bills were running in the passing game. And that's something that he helped install during his time with Josh Allen. In addition to different types of coverages they could run to take away things that Josh Allen wanted to do, the Giants had one play where they triple teamed Stephon Diggs, took away that read. Josh Allen couldn't get to the backside read, which was Gabe Davis, fast enough, and it led to an incomplete pass and a scramble. I think the Giants had a really good beat on what the Bills wanted to do from both a pass protection standpoint and from a pass concept standpoint, and that really made things difficult for the Bills' pass game. And that's why when the Bills eventually did commit a little bit in the second half to the run game with James Cook, they found some success. But before doing that, they were very pass happy, and this is more game specific for me. I wouldn't be surprised if Allen gets right back on track next week, even with the shoulder injury.
All right, next week they're at New England, and they have the tendency to absolutely destroy the New England Patriots. Josh Allen right now is the number one quarterback in fantasy. He is number two per game behind. Any guesses?
Let's see. Number one for fantasy. Number behind in the per game is the guess.
Uh huh.
Oh, it's got to be somebody who's injured then and hasn't played all the game.
Or a bye.
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert is your number one quarterback right now in fantasy in both four and 6 point. Allen, look, he's playing great. You don't really have to worry about him unless there's some shoulder issue here. But we heard he was going to run less. He is running less. He's on pace for 371 rushing yards. That's, 40% maybe of what we would expect from him. More like 60%, I guess, of what we would expect from him.
I didn't see them call a single design run for him either, especially when you look at kind of the contrast between Lamar Jackson, we're going to talk about a little bit. A lot of design runs in the red zone and design runs on third down, zone reads where he has the option to keep it. Didn't see that at all with Josh Allen in this game. And I haven't watched a ton of Josh Allen tape, but I'm not sure, so sure that's a part of their red zone package this year or their third down package, which is definitely an issue for him fantasy-wise.
Well, he's overcoming it right now, as I mentioned. Number one quarterback in fantasy coming off a bad game and really nothing to talk about there except just, yeah, fewer rushing yards. Three straight games with fewer than 20 rushing yards. That's the second time in his career. All right, so Stephon Diggs is Stephon Diggs, but James Cook and Gabe Davis are certainly worth talking about here. Cook was started in 84% of leagues. He did not have a catch in this game. I talked about it earlier in the week. This is one of the things that the Giants are maybe the best in football at. They do not allow pass-catching running backs to do much. It's 22 games in a row now where a running back does not have a touchdown catch or more than 34 receiving yards. But I don't even think he had a target in this game. So it's beyond just the matchup here. It's just bad for him in that regard. Allen threw 30 passes, none to Cook. And Gabe Davis, I wish I had been more... I felt bad about Davis, but you don't want to bench the Bills' passing offense, basically. I wish I had been more insistent on benching Gabe Davis because, again, it wasn't a good matchup. The Giants don't give up big pass plays. I didn't think Josh Allen would have to do a lot in this game. And, I think Davis, I think we're probably going to have to look at the matchups a little bit more. I basically just want a lot of pass attempts. I want more competitive games for Gabe Davis. But James Cook, what are your thoughts on James Cook? Do you feel comfortable starting him at New England?
It's an interesting spot now with James Cook because I felt like he looked really good on the broadcast angle. I've watched a little bit of the tape so far, not a lot. Did a good job creating space in the runs I saw and understanding where the blocks are being set up. What I talked about a lot last week on the show, the mental processing side of it. I've always felt like that's been great since his tape at Georgia. A lot of people didn't credit for him for that, thought he'd be more of this receiving Kamara type back. I always knew he could be a good in-between tackles runner. The issue is no involvement in the pass game, like you said, Adam, and I'm not so sure that's a big part of their game plan. And he does get pulled a lot in the red zone for Latavius Murray. He had a couple snaps in the green zone later in the game inside the 20, but they really do feel like they can just hammer home Murray inside the red zone, which is an issue for James Cook, without a doubt. I would feel somewhat comfortable starting him as more of a flex against the Patriots. I think with the lack of involvement in the red zone in the passing game, it's a lot like what I am, projected might happen to Travis Etienne this year, losing some of those touches on passing downs to Bigsby and in the red zone, which hasn't happened or hasn't surfaced the way we expected to. And obviously the long runs have helped Etienne maintain value. But without the long runs right now for touchdowns with James Cook, it's hard to envision too many points. Even some of the games he's had this year, Adam, where he's like broken 100 yards rushing, those weren't huge games because of no touchdowns. So it's an issue for sure.
Just could you imagine if the Eagles had lost to the Jets, the Niners had lost to the Browns, and the Bills had lost to the Giants in the same week? Yeah, that would have been really wild. And it almost happened.
We're close to getting
that. We were 1 yard away from getting that. You don't sound good today, Dan. You sound constrained by being in an office wearing a collared shirt. You just don't sound like yourself, Dan. Come out of your shell a little bit.
I don't know what you mean by that, Adam. I think I sound fine, but listen, the rough night, bad Giants loss.
It was.
I'm in an office. I'm in Florida. You know I like it better in New Jersey. You know I like it better in North Jersey. You know what's one thing about Florida? You go outside at night, and you expect it to be cooler and nicer like it is on New Jersey nights. It's still so hot out here at all times. I shouldn't complain about it. It's sunny, though, and which is nice. But no, I try not to be constrained. I don't really love this setup with the mic over here. I feel like I'm trying every 5 seconds to talk into it, but I'll do my best to get myself feeling like myself.
Do me a favor. Get up, go to the bathroom, find a stall, and let's just get yourself.
I know. I looked around this office. I couldn't find a single stall to podcast out of, so I'm stuck in this podcast room. But it is a nice setup, besides the fact that I don't really love the mic right here.
All right, well, you should sign up for Sportsline, everybody. Sportsline.com, $9.99 a month, $1 for your first month. You can use the promo code Richard or the promo code Heath. Make it happen. You get great, great fantasy advice, great gambling advice, DFS from the best DFS minds. I mean, these people have killed it in DFS. They know what they're doing. You want to make some money? Listen to them or read them. Sportsline.com, check it out. Live stream tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, before the Monday night game. We'll talk about the game if we have to. We'll answer your questions. Waiver wire is going to be nuts, so there are going to be a lot of questions. So here we go. Let's go to our news and notes. Justin Fields, dislocated thumb. Don't know his status yet. Hopefully find out soon. Trevor Lawrence hurt his knee. At the very least, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a long-term thing, but they are playing Thursday at New Orleans, which is a tough matchup. We're going to have to wonder, are we going to have Trevor Lawrence? B, if we do, are we going to feel comfortable starting Trevor Lawrence? Would you rather start a guy like Sam Howell against the Giants? I I think right now, my gut is telling me Sam Howell. Josh Allen, shoulder. Ryan Tannehill, he's got the ankle sprain. They've got a bye, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's out after the bye against Atlanta. Jimmy Garoppolo, back injury. Baker Mayfield has a bruised thumb. That was a new one. We didn't know that one last night. Christian McCaffrey, oblique and ribs. David Montgomery, ribs. Damian Harris, neck. Kyren Williams. Okay, both Rams running backs are injured right now. Kyren Williams has an ankle injury. Ronnie Rivers has a knee injury. He's going to miss some time. Don't know about Kyren yet, but they thought after the game it wasn't that bad, but this is definitely one to watch against Pittsburgh this week. Ramondre Stevenson left, but he came back. Deebo Samuel left. That's pretty much it at wide receiver. Receiver's not so bad. And offensive line, Brandon Scherff for the Jaguars. He's day-to-day, but again, they're playing on Thursday. Trent Williams for the Niners. He did come back in the game. He was not himself, apparently. And he's, you know, arguably the best left tackle in football, and he was in a walking boot after the game. So you've got Purdy with Trent Williams banged up, with two of his best targets banged up. That's not great. And they're at Minnesota this week. Lane Johnson, who was it? Bill Barnwell on ESPN wrote really, it was like a great article today about the injuries and talked about how when Lane Johnson gets hurt, it has a serious impact on the Eagles every time he gets hurt. So this is one to keep an eye on, arguably the best right tackle in football. And not a shock that the Jets beat the Eagles, I guess. I mean, it was a little shocking, but that the Eagles struggled with Lane Johnson leaving that game in the first quarter, I believe. New Orleans lost James Hurst at offensive line. I don't think he's long-term necessarily, but we'll see. Cleveland linebacker Anthony Walker is in the concussion protocol. We're hoping that Miami can get Xavien Howard back for their game at Philadelphia on Sunday night. Jonathan Jones for the Patriots, their cornerback, he left with an injury. Eagles had a couple more defensive back injuries. Chicago offensive guard Nate Davis was carted off. Jacksonville cornerback Tyson Campbell, their best corner, he left with a hamstring injury. They're at the Saints on Thursday, so that's pretty big news, I think. And Washington defensive lineman Montez Sweat left with a thumb injury. All right, when we come back, we'll take a break here. We'll look at advanced snaps. We'll look at snap counts. Got a little film review of Jameson Williams. Then we'll get into our five big topics. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What do you think, Dan? Going to get under an hour on today's show? What do you think?
I think so. No, Jacob here takes away a little bit of the advanced stats stuff. So we're just getting to a lot of film today.
You know, Jacob always yammering on, never stops talking, that Jacob Gibbs.
No, that's fault. Usually on me. I'm the one who's always struggled with brevity throughout my entire life.
It's that would be a me and you thing. All right, so just some advanced stats. Kirk Cousins had the lowest air yards per attempt and the quickest release time of any game this season per ESPN. Zay Flowers is 8th in red zone and 11th in green zone targets. Let's say he caught his first touchdown of the year. Lamar Jackson, we're going to talk about, has a super low touchdown rate, but I love the fact that Zay Flowers is involved in the most important areas of the field. Taysom Hill. This one Dave gave me. Most routes he's ever run, most targets he's ever had, which was 8. He played 60% of the snaps. Taysom Hill was a legit tight end, you know, catching passes. Let's see, his final line was 7 catches for 49 yards on 8 targets for Taysom Hill at Houston. They get Jacksonville on Thursday. Logan Thomas had a terrible game, but he played 78% of the snaps. That was good. Cole Kmet played 95% of the snaps. JSN played a season high 72% of the snaps. Excuse me. Still coughing. The only thing about this JSN I wasn't able to look into was how much did he benefit from DK Metcalf leaving the field for a little bit with an injury? I don't know, but he did trend in the right direction, I guess. T. Higgins only played 54% of the snaps. And Kendrick Bourne, huge game for him with 10 catches, 89 yards on 11 targets. He played 93% of the snaps. Last week, Kendrick Bourne played 87% of the snaps. It'd be nice if they would just let one guy be their every down wide receiver. It was Bourne in week one, then they went away from that in 2 through 4. Weeks 5 and 6, back to Kendrick Bourne. Maybe we have a bye week replacement. Dan, you looked at Jameson Williams on film, who did basically nothing, but he caught a 50-ish yard touchdown. It was a big play for him. It was a big play for Goff. What did you see from Jameson Williams?
I saw a lot that I liked. So I'm going to start with, for those who are paying attention and want to watch on NFL, if you have game film, if you signed up for NFL, you know, plus and got that, go ahead. So the filthy double move he ran with 38 seconds left in the second quarter, I just thought it was awesome to watch how far the cornerback was playing off him in coverage. The ball didn't come his way, but he looked so smooth, fast, and fluid running routes. He ran a deep post on 3rd and 13 with 10:44 left in the third quarter. He ran a comeback on 2nd and 9. This was the best route he ran of the game by far. Comeback on 2nd and 9 with 3:53 left in the third quarter. It showed the separation he can create purely out of respect for the defense. The corner's playing so far off the ball, he's open for what feels like forever on this play. He ran a deep vert up the left sideline, stopped on a dime. This was 3:36 left in the third quarter, a few plays later. Full 5 yards of separation from the DB. This time Goff threw the ball to him. Low throw, bad throw from Goff. Should have been another 20 yards on his stat sheet. 2 plays later, the touchdown glided down the field, made it look so effortless. Did a great job, in my opinion, adjusting to the football. Had to flip his hips twice and then made the catch for the touchdown. And what I really think the big takeaway here with Jameson Williams is how defenses had to adjust to him. Later in the game, you saw in the fourth quarter, the Bucs had to play, and this was at the first play of the fourth quarter, the Bucs had to play with a safety directly over the top of Williams Adam, and that led to no safety help in the middle of the field for an easy, easy, wide open, and I mean wide open 23-yard pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown, where the safety could not occupy that space because he was forced to get so vertical to account for Jameson Williams, and that was how they played it throughout the rest of the game. I think that's how teams are going to have to play it. Once you put on tape that ability to make that play downfield, and he did on that touchdown, Adam, this is the same thing I saw with Jalen Hyatt earlier this season when he put on tape that big post pattern against the Cardinals. Now, every time he's on the field, you see that safety help shifted over the top of Jalen Hyatt. Same thing for Jameson Williams. He's going to create so much space in the middle of the field for Amon-Ra St. Brown to run more vertically oriented routes, those in-breakers, those dig routes like he did on that one. It was a 23-yard gain. So I think Williams' emergence should really help Amon-Ra St. Brown moving forward. And if Goff can get him the ball, it's going to help Jameson Williams. I mean, Williams was open a lot in this game, Adam. He runs the vertical route tree great, but then has that ability to stop on a dime. That one route I was talking about with 3:36 left in the third quarter, man, everyone should watch that route. I put it on Twitter, so you can check it out there. He's running a vert up the left sideline, and the corner is forced to stop on a dime when he stops on a dime. The corner goes 5 yards back after stopping on a dime and then creates that separation. I think we lost Adam here for a second, so maybe give him a second to get back in. I know we
didn't lose me. I got you. Go ahead.
Okay. Had some internet issues earlier, but yeah, stops on a dime and is just able to create that 5 yards of separation. Goff misses him with a low throw. Should have been 20 yards, like I said, but I'm excited about what Williams can add to this offense for Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I think he's going to be a big play player who maybe not the most consistent player on a weekly basis, but somebody who can give you spark weeks.
Sorry, Dan, I had to blow my nose. So I gave everyone a break and took myself off camera there.
It's all good.
Yeah, so Jameson Williams, I think he only played 16 snaps. He's still getting his sea legs, I guess. He played 16 snaps. Amon-Ra St. Brown, for example, played 64 snaps. So it wasn't a lot for Jameson Williams, but keep making some progress there. Make some plays.
That's going to rise, by the way, Adam. Like, they have to get him on the field. The offense looks so much better with the space that he creates. And this is what I've always said about these deep receivers. I'm sorry to cut you Sorry. But it's so important schematically to get these guys on the field because of the space they create in the middle of the field for other players.
Yeah. Keep going. I mean, I hope he's not. I hope he can give us a level of consistency. 82% roster, Jameson Williams, 9% started. But what Dan said should give you reason to hold on to him right now. They're at Baltimore. Big game next week. Lions at Ravens. So we'll get into our five big topics here. Speaking of the Ravens, the first one is about Lamar Jackson. Magic Oriole says Lamar Jackson looks way better than his fantasy point outputs. I would agree with that for sure. He is currently the number six QB in 4 point, number 10 in 6 point on a per game basis. He's 7th and 11th in 4 and 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, respectively. The last two games have been a little rough for him because of two things. In week 5, it was the drops. In week 6, look at this. They were in the red zone 4 times and settled for field goals. On two of those drives, they were inside the 2-yard line and settled for field goals. So it's just been, I think, a little bit of bad luck. The question is, could we have been saying this about Lamar Jackson each of the past 2 years where, you know, you get these huge games, then you get a lot of bad games or disappointing games. And, he's just unlucky. And that maybe that's just him. But I don't know. It feels a little bit different. First of all, his wide receivers are obviously better. His numbers are better. He's throwing the ball better. He's much more accurate this year. His off-target rate is way down. His ADOT is down also, but not so much. He's still 13th in air yards per pass attempt. I just think he's playing quarterback a little bit better this year. And then, as Dan can tell you, the design runs are great. He's not a guy who's had a lot of design runs inside the 5-yard line. This year, he already has 4 carries inside the 5-yard line. His career high is 7. So I think there's a lot to like here for Lamar Jackson. I think he's playing pretty well. Been the victim of some bad circumstances the last couple of weeks. I don't like his schedule. I will say that. I don't like his schedule, but I'm optimistic. I do think the arrow's pointing up for Lamar Jackson, Dan.
Yeah, you're right, Adam. You said it best. There were multiple times in this game where the conservative nature of the coaching, in my mind, led to them not scoring points in the red zone. 3rd-and-1 run failed, followed by a 4th-and-1 field goal attempt. You talked about the 2 times in the red zone, but the positive side of those red zone trips were, even though they didn't get there, I thought the 1 3rd-and-goal from the 1, Lamar, in my opinion, did a poor job. He should have just immediately cut outside because Richard, their fullback, was responsible for the block, but Ricard was responsible for the block. And when you have a fullback or a tight end blocking the end man in the line of scrimmage, all you want them to do is lose slowly. And he did sort of lose slowly because you don't expect them to win those blocks, but you want them to lose slowly. That's like a coaching term you hear for tight ends and fullbacks. But he did kind of lose slowly, but Lamar kind of waited too long for it to develop. Should have just bounced it right outside, would have had an easy touchdown. But also, I felt like it was a bad job by him not checking out of that play, because if he did check out of it, he had Flowers wide open on the immediate slant with no safety help. Could have been an easy touchdown. So I thought it was good to see the design runs, Adam, in the red zone, even though it didn't exactly work. I thought there were good and bad things about Lamar Jackson's tape. First down, the best thing I saw was his ability to make checks and audibles at the line of scrimmage already, just 6 games into a system. He did it on the first 3rd down of the game, checked to a bubble screen to Aguilar. Great adjustment by him. Saw something in the pre-snap defense, allowed him to get that 21-yard gain. Later in the game, the best play of his game was when he did a great job bringing the Mike linebacker. This was the 38-yard gain up the seam to Mark Andrews. Brought the linebacker back to the left side of the field. Once he caught the snap, you watch where the helmet goes. The helmet stripe goes straight to the left. He's holding the linebacker. He's holding linebacker. Linebacker's cheating over, snaps back to the right, and throws the ball to Mark Andrews up the seam for a 38-yard gain. Beautifully executed, but there were some misses. The 3rd-and-9 was 7:40 in the third quarter. Lamar misses 15 wide open and then escapes right. And this is a problem that I've seen a lot just watching a lot of Daniel Jones, Adam. When you escape right out of a pocket instead of manipulating the pocket and staying within the pocket to find a new landing spot to throw from, you cut off half the field and all the D-backs collapse back to the routes and there's just nowhere to throw the football. He did have a nice job on 3rd-and-6 to get them out. This was 3:20 in the third quarter. Working back to the check down to Gus Edwards, worked all the way through his progression from left to right. Good job there. There were a lot of offensive line breakdowns, I thought, in this game that kind of prevented bigger plays. Lamar missed an open play, a shot play to Nat Aguilar with 40 seconds left in the second quarter, 1st-and-10 from their 37. But, you know, the positives here are he's progressing through the offense faster than I thought he would. And it's still a lot of quick game, by the way, Adam, like a lot of quick game passing game, too much deep stuff down the field. They dial up deep shots off play action though sometimes, but the positives are definitely he's moving through his progressions fast for how soon he is in the offense. making checks and audibles at the line of scrimmage that are leading to big plays, and then the design runs. But I do feel like there's still a long way for, in my opinion, for him to go to get more comfortable within this offense. And he's missing some things, in my opinion, from a processing standpoint.
Okay. Well, I think Zay Flowers is really makes a big difference for me. I wish they would stop running the ball so much. I guess you can't really just get away from it, but they just don't have a good running game. You know, it would have been great to see what J.K. Dobbins could do, but they really these guys are just not getting it done on the ground. But all right, Jackson.
But you're right, Adam, too.
What's that?
Like, multiple drives were stalled by them getting, you know, 8-yard pass on first down, then run on second and third, and then kicking field goals.
Yeah, you can't just throw every play, but they don't have a good run game. All right, next up is from Jose Perez. Devontae Adams, poor fantasy play since his 2-touchdown game. Why? I don't know.
Well, Adam.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for this one. I mean, like, I watched his routes, and he just wasn't really open all that much. Certainly, he demanded some double coverage. But I can't sit here and say, like, oh, it's his shoulder. It's not like they were jamming him on every play. I don't know what it is. I don't really think it's necessarily the shoulder. It's obviously feels like it can't be a coincidence. He has, I think, 9 targets in his last 2 games since the injury. But I'm not necessarily seeing anything to that, you know, like, oh, it looks like he can't separate because of his shoulder or anything like that. But I don't know, Dan, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts were a few things. One, I feel like one thing I don't like about how they're using him, every single snap is as the X or the Z. So that means the boundary wide receiver. I would love to see McDaniels get a little more creative, moving him into the slot, trying to find good matchups for him. That's one thing I don't like. But all my other notes really suggest just, or a lot of this is on, in my opinion, just as I kind of predicted it would be, and I haven't watched too much of it until this week, but on Jimmy G, like, really bad ball placement from Jimmy G. The first time they were able to match up Adams one-on-one as the lone X, there was a safety in middle of the field close coverage, which is what you want. What that means is one high safety in the middle of the field from the pre-snap, so he won't have time to get over to the vertical. Adams beats his man, but the ball's way out of bounds, not even catchable. 3rd and 11, they run later in the game, a 3rd and 11, 0 blitz from the Patriots, which gives Adams an easy one-on-one against the post. But guess what? The QB has his eyes. This is what happens with Jimmy G all the time. And it's fine. Like, on this play, he hit the drag and it was dropped. It would have been a first down. But the point is, Jimmy G's eyes, like, there's a wide open post against a cover 0 blitz, which means no safety help over the top. Adams has all the space in the world to run the post pattern. Jimmy G can lead him, throw it out there, put it as much air as he wants under it. He just has to throw it more toward the middle of the field. But his eyes are not there. His eyes don't look in those spots down the field. They look to the sticks. That's where he wants to find his solutions. Then I saw him finally motion late in the first quarter, which was great. Motion left to right gives him man coverage. He you know, by putting him in motion, he can confirm man coverage pre-snap. There's no safety help down the right sideline. Jimmy's eyes just don't go there, though. Like, Adams had at least 2 steps on that one. And then later in the game, Jimmy finally goes to Adams with horrible ball placement behind him. And the interception almost got Adams killed on that one. That was a terrible throw, a terrible read by Jimmy. Terrible ball placement led him right into the defender. He made his mind up pre-snap. I think a big issue here is that Jimmy's eyes don't go down the field. Jimmy doesn't process well. Jimmy doesn't throw well downfield. We saw a little bit of improvement.
You kind of sound like someone named Jimmy who's talking about himself in the third
place. Yeah, it was like a Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the Banyan? The Banyan, isn't he the guy who talks third person about himself? Or was it not Banyan? Who was it? Was it the soup and the suit guy, or was it somebody
else?
I don't remember.
I don't know. You're the Seinfeld guy.
No, it's Jimmy. Jimmy.
It is. Oh, is it right? Jimmy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's Jimmy.
That's why he probably is. So it's Jimmy, actually. Yeah, Jimmy talks about Jimmy. But yeah, then finally late in the game when Hoyer came in, I thought Hoyer did a great job of throwing to a second window on a deep dig to Adams to find Adams. I got to be honest. I think just with Jimmy G, it's going to be a bad year for Adams. This is what I predicted. I know he had some touchdowns early on, but this is just not the offense for him, and it's not the quarterback for him.
All right. Well, it's might not going to be the quarterback for him this week, perhaps, because Jimmy Garoppolo did leave with the injury and Brian Hoyer came in. I think if you just look at the full season, I'm on his stats page right now. Advanced stats, air yards, slot percentage. I actually didn't notice that. So good call by Dan there. He is in the slot a lot less than he usually is. So last year, 21%. This year, 11.6%. The years before that, 29.7%, 26.3%. But playing in the slot a lot less. So maybe he can get there. But everything looks pretty good. You just have to really focus, though, on the last 2 games, which have been bad. Now, I'll say this about Devontae Adams, right? Last year, weeks 2 and 3, his second and third games with the Raiders, he had 12 yards and a touchdown and 36 yards and a touchdown. Weeks 14 and 15, he had 28 yards, no touchdowns, 15 yards, no touchdowns. So, you know, he's had, with the Raiders, two games twice. Two consecutive games with very low yardage totals. No more than 36 yards in any of those games, and he did catch a couple of touchdowns. But I think so I don't really care about that. What I care about is the lack of targets the last two games for Adams. He has 9 targets. He has 6 catches for 74 yards. It's bad. Is it related to the injury? It might be. I can't really sit there and say, right? I didn't see anything that made it look like it was a shoulder.
I don't see anything. I thought he won on his vertical routes. The left sideline one, I said.
But it's not, that's the thing. It's like, he's not just, it shouldn't just be the vertical routes. I mean, the guy should be able to get open underneath. The guy should be able to get open. It's what he does.
Which he is. They don't really use him like that. They're using him on a lot of vertical routes as the lone X. But like you said, not a lot of slot snaps, not a lot of easy matchups for him. Finally, when Hoyer came in, they used him on a deep dig, which is great because you can get him the ball. It's not even an intermediate dig, right? It was a 15-yard gain. But I didn't see him run that route with Jimmy at all during his time in the game. Look, Derek Carr had his mind, like he was on, Adams was on his mind every snap. Like if Adams was running a vertical and he could confirm post pre-snap that there's going to be no safety up over the top, he's looking for Adams. There were 3 plays in this game where Garoppolo got that and he didn't look for Adams. And it's just, I don't know. I just think it's a different oriented quarterback from a processing standpoint. And it's just hard for me to imagine unless they start moving him to the slot, getting him free releases and easy matchups, and making him part of the game plan, that he's going to get back to a level that we want him to get to.
All right. I would say three things concern me. What Dan's talking about, which is him, let's get him in the slot more. That's number one. Number two, I guess number two and number three are basically the same thing, and it's Jacoby Myers. Because the best wide receiver, or any receiver, any player at any position, the best number two receiver on a Devontae Adams team over the last 5 years was probably Mac Hollins last year, who had 690 yards. That's the most number two receiver yards of any player that Adams has played with over the last 5 seasons. So Myers is a factor, and Myers is also a factor in the end zone. Devontae Adams has only 2 end zone targets through 6 games. He had 18 last year. Yep. So he has gone from 1 per game to 1/3 of the one every 2 games, every 3 games, sorry. So me, you heard me last week. I try not to panic about players. Adams is one of the greatest receivers of all time. I feel like he's going to be fine. But there are some troubling trends there. I still think he's a second round type player. I don't know that I would, like, would you take Chris Olave ahead of him? I don't think I'd do
that. I would, yes.
You would?
Yeah, I don't see much hope for Adams unless they change
come
the game.
On now. Look, I mean, look at the first 4 games of the year. 12.6 points getting shadowed by Surtain. 20.4 points. 42.2 points. 15.5 points. Come on, how can we say there's no you don't see much hope for Adams? He was great for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe it's the matchup. Maybe it's and Hoyer will help. I think Hoyer will actually help him if Hoyer plays. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the connection is there with Jimmy Garoppolo, especially in the red. You bring up those red zone stats. Like Derek Carr was looking for him in the red zone. Jimmy Garoppolo is not looking for him in the red zone.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, is Bijan Robinson a top 5 running back rest of season after this?
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky. co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Shania, we got a chance at 50 minutes today, a chance. This one is from Jovan. Is Bijan Robinson a top five running back rest of season? So far, he is 12th in non-PPR, 10th in half, 8th in full PPR. And Bijan Robinson per game is 15th in non and 13th in both half and full PPR. He has 2 touchdowns this year. Only Alexander Mattison has more carries than Bijan Robinson without a touchdown, a rushing touchdown. So, Dan, is Bijan Robinson a top five running back rest of season?
You know, I was thinking about this when we were going into the show, like where I was going to land on this. And I'm just looking at the running back landscape and how bad it is right now. And I think a case can be made that he could be in that mix, but it relies on some things that we're not seeing yet. And I'm sure you might have the stats to back this up, Adam, but we're still not seeing, in my opinion, the running back touches share I want out of Bijan Robinson. Yes, they've done a good job getting involved as a receiver, but at the same time, they've also expanded the receiving palette for Drake London in recent weeks, and he's become a key cog. And they've designed what I think has been the biggest reason for their success in the pass game over the last 2 weeks. And as an offense, and we've seen Desmond Ridder now get 300 yards passing in back-to-back games, 300 plus in back-to-back games, is the two-man routes they're running on the vertical tree with Kyle Pitts and Drake London. That's not something that really Bijan is involved in. So I almost feel like that role is not this. It was better almost in week one than where it's at now. So it's tough given the landscape at running back. We have so few players who are consistent on a week-to-week basis, Adam, and so few healthy players who are consistent on a week-to-week basis. It's tough for me to put him maybe in that mix, but I think he's definitely borderline. I'd just like to see more of a share from him in the run game and less, you know, Tyler Allgeier.
Oh, I think everybody wants to see less Tyler Allgeier. I don't know that we're going to get that. You still have 80 carries through 5 games for Bijan Robinson. It's not so bad. You're getting 5 yards per carry. He's not the goal line guy. It looks like that's mostly going to be Allgeier. But the best thing about Bijan, the reason why I think he can be a top 5 running back in full PPR especially, he has run the second most routes among running backs. Only Kyren Williams has run more. He leads, this is surprising to me, Bijan Robinson leads all running backs in catches. He has the third highest target share of any running back. Only Jacobs and McCaffrey have higher target shares. I don't think he's going to lead all running backs in catches because I think Eckler and Kamara will have more than him. But he's next, I think. I mean, he's like kind of in the McCaffrey range. He's not going to have 100 catches or anything. But, I mean, what's he on pace for? I didn't do that. Let's see.
Yeah, there's so little involvement in with running backs around the NFL in pass games that his involvement still is, like you said, one of the best in the NFL.
Well, he's on pace for 74 catches, so that's going to put him in the top 5 range. Also, he's amazing. He's going to make incredible plays throughout the year, and maybe they'll just give him more work as the season goes on. But Allgeier is definitely hurting his upside. I don't think Bijan can have an RB1 season, like the RB1 season.
Yes.
But I did not expect a 73, 74 catch pace. That's phenomenal.
And I think that worked more to raise his floor rather than his ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, eventually he's going to score some rushing touchdowns, right? He's just so good.
Yo.
What?
I said, you hope. Yeah.
I thought you said, yo. Yeah. Yo, what's up, man? All right, well, it brings us to our next category here for our next big topic from Rui Mauricio. Is zero RB the stronger than ever? And quick answer right now is yes, because if you look at the top 12 running backs per game in full PPR, 6 of them were drafted in round 7 or later. That's crazy. And then Kamara was drafted in like round 6, basically. He was just outside the top 60. So, yeah, you want to hear the top 12 per game? You have a guy who played one game, Eckler. Achan is 2. McCaffrey, Mostert, 2 Dolphins running backs are in the top 4 per game. Zach Moss is 5. Kamara, Etienne, Kyren Williams, Ken Walker, David Montgomery, Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Swift. This is, without question, the zero RB year, Dan. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful for players like me in fantasy who are just zero RB almost every year. I mean, I don't mind a hero RB build if I get the right spot and I could get the right guy if I have an early snake pick or if I make the commitment in auction, which I don't typically do at that position. But this is part of what we've talked about in the past, Adam. I think the biggest factor here is the thing that you laughed at one point, but you won't probably be laughing at today, but the anti-fragility factor.
Dan, I cannot laugh at something that I still don't understand.
We've explained it to you too many times. We're not going to explain it to you again. Go back and listen to the four other episodes where we explained to you what it was. But in a nutshell, for those maybe listening for the first time, it's the idea that you're not investing so heavily in the running back position because there is that fragility factor, that factor of the injuries that play such a big role at this position. And yes, there's injuries at receiver and quarterback, more than we've seen at quarterback lately, but still nothing on the level of running backs. And we also see situations like Buffalo where you're not even getting a running back who there is their RB1 who's been healthy, but not even involved in the passing game enough, not involved in the red zone enough. There's just so few teams that have these workhorses anymore. And even on those teams that have the workhorses, if you're investing in them, you might get a 3-week injury like Saquon Barkley or a 3-week injury like Austin Eckler. It's just too high of an injury factor position to invest your best in assets. And you only get so many top assets in a draft every year, whether it be auction or snake. And it's just becoming harder and harder to win when you invest in that position because, yeah, you can get lucky and somebody could be not injured the whole year at that position. But man, now Christian McCaffrey dealing with an oblique injury, Adam, I don't know what that's going to be for him. He tried to come back in the game, then couldn't gut it out.
Yeah.
I know in baseball, in fantasy baseball, oblique injuries are like the death sentence. I don't know if it's the same for football, but they're extremely tricky in baseball. They're re-aggravate all the time. So, I mean, it's hard for me to ever get back on board with a running back build or a, you know, robust running back build, as they call it, because that fragility factor will be there throughout the rest of time.
I feel like I only did RB in one league and it was Barkley and Pollard, I want to say.
Yeah, I remember that team you had.
And that was
Pollard.
Yeah, and that team's Barkley I took 10th and Pollard I took 15th. And how are we doing in this league? This is the FFT Open League. I'm 3-2, but I'm about to be 3-3. But you know, I have Ken Walker and DeAndre Swift on this team, so I'm just happen to be loaded at running back. We looked at the running back landscape this year and I think we kind of nailed it. I mean, it was a deeper position. There was a lot of value in the mid rounds. The fact that Achan has just been as good as it, that we didn't see coming, you know, but I'm not really surprised by DeAndre Swift at all.
Or Montgomery. I'm not surprised at all by DeAndre Montgomery. Obviously now he's injured,
I'm not really that surprised either, as you hear all the things I say about Montgomery, but I will. You can go check the tape. I always said he had good fantasy value as a 7th-round pick. Obviously, Zach Moss is a surprise. There are going to be surprises. But I'm not. I was drafting Raheem Mostert. Pretty lucky that Raheem Mostert Jeff Wilson got hurt maybe like during one of our drafts. And I took Mostert pretty high and probably raised some eyebrows at the time. But I'm not super surprised. I'm surprised at just how good the Dolphins' offense has been. I'm not surprised that Mostert is a must-start running back. Didn't think he'd be 4th per game. So there was a lot of talent, a lot of really talented running backs who had good track records, at least like on a per carry basis, like DeAndre Swift, Raheem Mostert, that you could get late. Now, the question is, how many of them do we buy? You know, because I look at the guys, I told you that the late round running backs or the free agent running backs that are in the top 12 per game, Achan's 2, Mostert's 4, Moss 5, Kyren 8, Montgomery 10, Swift 12 per game. Look at the guys who are right behind them. You've got Bijan, Pollard, Jacobs, Aaron Jones. At least 3 of those guys, I love the roles for. I don't know what the Aaron Jones role is. I think we'll find out. He practiced today. He's going to play most likely in week 7. But Kyren Williams has 2 targets in his last 2 games, and he's got an injury.
And now he's hurt. Yep.
Zach Moss is going to be maybe a flex. It's not his fault, but it's just, you know, Taylor. The Dolphins situation, I mean, look at Raheem Mostert in weeks 4 and 5 after Devon Achane broke out. He had 10 touches and he had 12 touches. He turned one of those games into 16 points. That's great. He turned one into 5.5 points. I could see some regression. I actually really like DeAndre Swift. I love the role he's playing. I love the offense he's in. He's catching a ton of passes. The only thing that could hold him back, I think, are injuries. You look at the other guys, and I think there's a lot that could hold those other guys back, except Montgomery. I think Montgomery's fine as long as he's healthy. But I still think I would take Bijan, Pollard, we'll see after tonight, Jacobs, who's running like, you know, doing nothing on the ground but getting so many touches, Aaron Jones. I would probably take them over most of those guys, but it's a, you know, it's not that bad of a position. There's probably at least 15 to 20 running backs I feel good about. What do you think?
Yeah, just not the ones we expected on draft day.
Sure.
Not all the ones, I should say, we expected. Yeah.
But Bijan, Pollard, Jacobs, and Aaron Jones, I still feel pretty good about. They're not top 12 per game. I would probably rank them in the top 12 rest of season, at least most of them. Aaron Jones, we just don't know, but I'm hopeful for him. All right, last question is from Earl. He had five questions. I asked for five big topics, so his five big topics were, why do I even get out of bed? What's the point? Where did my life go? Waiver wire, trade targets. Clever.
Well, you should always get out of bed. There's always, you know, this is how I always look at life, even when you're down on yourself. I was down on myself today, Adam. The Giants, that was just a terrible loss.
It could have
saved their season in the sense that it could have made things competitive and fun for the rest of the year if they had won that game, because they have a decently easy stretch. Now, obviously, with five losses, it becomes so much tougher. The margin for error is smaller. But look, you should always get out of bed in the morning, because the next day could be so much better than the next moment could be better than your last. And it's a good way to look at things, in my opinion, when you're down on yourself. And as far as fantasy goes, the next one could be better. Keep an eye on Michael Mayer, the tight end, the rookie in Las Vegas. I had a chance to watch him when I was watching Davante Adams, and I really like what I saw. Michael Mayer, I always felt, was an underrated prospect in the receiving game because he played in that Notre Dame system where, yes, they got him targets, but it just wasn't a good, healthy passing offense. And I thought he showed a great job of having, on his 32-yard reception from Jimmy G, a great job of having just a natural feel for playing football and receiver and tight end. He ran a deep route, but he adjusted back to the quarterback when he saw the play breaking down, stopped, turned it into a comeback route, which was perfect against that cornerback who was playing outside leverage and deep down the field. And that helped him, you know, make a great play on the football. And then another play where, you know, it was in the deep half. There was a slot vert that created space. He made a cutback and made a man miss. I thought he was good after the catch, Michael Mayer. I thought he was good at creating force missed tackles as well as yards after contact. Both of the two things I look for. He's a huge target. He has an excellent feel against zone coverage. So I would definitely take a look at Michael Mayer if you need tight end help this week, or as someone who you would pick up as well, just to kind of boost that position for yourself.
For those of you wondering, and I did see a comment earlier that I said I wouldn't care at all if the Giants lost last night. I meant that when I said it. If they had just gone to Buffalo and gotten their butts kicked, I wouldn't have cared at all. And that's actually bad. Like, you don't like apathy, but to lose like that, was tough. And it's been a bad sports run for me. I mean, it's been a bad few weeks.
Same
with that freaking.
I mean, I just watched my college football team, Adam, Wisconsin, lose a football game to their main rival at home, where the opposing team threw the fourth. It might have even ended like this. Had 39 yards passing. Iowa beat us with 39 yards passing. How do you lose a football game where the opposing team is 39 yards passing? I don't know. And they might have ended up with like 60. Don't quote me on that. But at one point, it was 39.
I know you don't think that was worse than the Miami Georgia Tech loss. Like, there's no way.
Nothing is worse than that Miami Georgia
Tech. Exactly.
Out of decency towards you, Adam, because you're my friend and you become my friend, I did not bring that up at all.
Yeah.
Even though there were definitely opportunities for me to, you know, crap on you for that. It was the worst loss I've ever seen in my life in football.
It was.
I think that guy should be fired for not kneeling that game out. I don't think there's any excuse for it. I know he's done that in the past when he was at Oregon or whatever, but like, just terrible coaching. Like, you kneel there every time. Yeah. But yes, that was the worst loss I've seen in a long time, if not ever.
I haven't been able to shake it. It's been 10 days now, 9 days, whatever. I haven't been able to shake it. It ruined the whole season. It just ruined everything. Anyway, waiver wire is going to be super interesting, Earl. Who's the number one waiver wire priority? I would say Jordan Mason right now. Sam Howell is going to be pretty popular this week. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Craig Reynolds got a lot of touches this week. I'm somewhat concerned with the idea that it will be Jordan Mason, though. I think when they get a week to game plan, it could be Elijah Mitchell.
It could be. Sure, it could be. I hope it's Christian McCaffrey, and we don't have to have this conversation.
Right.
this feels like a week of a lot of really not so good waiver wire options.
Yeah.
Right? So
like last week, DeMarcado, I mean, look at some of the plays from last week. Dante Foreman was killed. I started both of those guys in desperate leagues, Adam, and they just both killed me.
Well, Foreman, I mean, Foreman, you got a lot of work. You just didn't get a touchdown. DeMarcado was obviously this is like a
But Foreman also lost a lot more work than I thought he would lose. Like I thought that would be more of a 70-80%, and he was like more like 50-50 for the most part in that game.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a must add guy on waivers this week, but I would probably look at I think it might be Sam Howell if he's available against the Giants. Giants defense is improving.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Adam, and make this call early so people will know I said it. I think Sam Howell will have a bad fantasy game against the Giants. The Giants defense took a massive step forward this week. Maybe it was because they knew the protection schemes because Dable coached in Buffalo. Maybe. I don't know. They looked really good. Bobby Okereke looked unbelievable in that game.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens, but I think they're going to really frustrate Sam Howell and make things really difficult. Wink Martindale was in his bag against Josh Allen, and I think he'll be even better against
it is bag. I love it. All right. Well, thanks for everybody for trade targets. Let's wait till Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't have anyone that jumps off the page. I mean, I would trade for Devontae Adams. I think it's worth taking the gamble on that. It just takes 1 week for him to go back to being himself. And everybody said, Devontae Adams is fine. Don't even worry about it. So I would do that. But also this is what I would say about trades. This is the best week to do trades. You need to look at teams that are ravaged by a bye or like pick one of the six teams that are on a bye. Pick a player you like on that team. Find a manager that's 2-4 and absolutely needs a win. And you take that, you know, stud player. I'm kind of drawing a blank on who has a bye this week. Okay, let's see.
I don't know the byes either.
Let's go through this real quick. Week 7 is the Panthers. So if it's Thielen you want, maybe it's Jamar Chase. Is there a 2-4 Jamar Chase manager? Is there a 2-4 Joe Burrow manager? I think better days are ahead for him. The Cowboys are going to be on a bye. Let's see what happens tonight. But is there a 2-4 Tony Pollard or CeeDee Lamb manager? They are desperate. You go and you make that trade. You get your ass out there and you find that dog. All right.
Wow. I'm surprised by the A word that you just dropped. And I wasn't even sure where you were going to go with that because I knew what was coming at the end of that quote. Yeah. Obviously, I'm a huge Madison fan, but you passed over it, right?
Yes, I did. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. Actually, we'll talk to you tonight. Except for
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.